We turn in God's holy word to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We read the first 17 verses. These are Jesus' words to His disciples in the upper room the night before His crucifixion. As we read these words, notice, first of all, notice especially that Jesus is speaking very openly and freely with His disciples, speaking as a friend among friends. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. So far we read from God's holy and infallible word. The text is verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, it is an amazing thing simply to be known as the servants of Jesus Christ. Let's begin there. To be but the servants of Jesus is itself a most glorious reality. You understand, we must be servants. That's how we were created. We were created to be servants. We will be servants. The only question is, whose servants shall we be? By nature, because of our sin in Adam and our own sins, what we deserve is to be the servants, the slaves of Satan. Satan, that great Pharaoh, that taskmaster. And by nature, what we deserve is to live under his cruel bondage, to be whipped and beaten, driven to slave labor every day, dying a continual death every day under the cruel domination and oppression of that master. But that's not the case with us, beloved. By God's grace, we have been plucked out of the kingdom of darkness, brought into the kingdom of light, and have been made the servants of King Jesus. And that reality in and of itself is a most blessed reality we cherish. We are the servants of Jesus. This is one of our great joys and privileges as Christians, that we get to serve the King, the great King. All your life is dignified simply by this one truth, that you serve King Jesus. He who is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He whose palace is in the heaven of heavens. He whose lands and whose dominion is this entire universe. He who is the King who has all riches, all glory, and all power. He also who is the King who is kind and ever compassionate and tender and sympathetic towards His servants. Who is such a highly exalted King and yet who condescends even to know His servants and listen to them and care for them and love them. And He is also the King whose commandments are good and only fill the soul of His servants with great joy. Because He, the King, only commands what is good for His servants to do. And so, as I just said, to be but the servant of Jesus is itself a most glorious truth. Yet, in the passage we consider this morning, Jesus proceeds to present us a truth that goes beyond that reality. In the passage this morning, Jesus presents us with a truth that our weak and puny minds can hardly grasp and take in. Because what Jesus says is this: not only are you my servants, but I make you my friends. Not only are you my servants, whom I love and care for and bless, but you are my friends. You're my friends. Do you recognize how astonishing that truth is, beloved? To be someone's friend here on earth is a special thing. Simply to have friendship is itself a special thing. The children know it. For a child to have a friend, to have someone who calls him or her my friend, that means something. That means the world to that child. The glorious truth presented to us this morning is this: Jesus, the Messiah Himself, calls you and me His friends. Again, it's not just us calling Him our friends. That's one thing. But He says you are His friend. He calls us friends. That's the theme we take for the sermon this morning. He calls us friends. First, we look at the idea of friendship. Second, we look at Jesus' friendship. And then third, Jesus' friendship with us. What is a friend? There are a few specific things we could say about what friendship is. First, a friend is someone who is loyal. A friend, someone who doesn't turn his back on you when the going gets tough. And that's exactly what separates a friend from an imposter. Someone may like you because you have lots of money, because you can give them good things, because you're popular. But when the going gets tough, they disappear into thin air. A friend doesn't do that, not a true friend. In Proverbs 17, verse 17, we read, "A friend loveth at all times." In the next chapter, in Proverbs 18, verse 24, we read, "There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." A friend is loyal. A true friend will love you to the end. Second, a friend is someone who protects you. A friend will do anything, go anywhere, and give anything for the well-being of his friend. A friend looks out for you. As Jesus says in John 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what a friend does. Up to the point even of laying down his life. He stands up, or we'll get to that soon, but he gives up himself. Maybe his reputation. Maybe his money. Maybe his job. He's willing to lose it all for his friend. And isn't that what we're called to do as the friends of Jesus? Not just as disciples, counting the cost, but as his friends. For his sake. Third, a friend is someone who will give you honest correction. A friend is not one who flatters simply for the sake of being accepted and being your friend. No, a true friend will be honest with you. In fact, the closer the friendship is, the more honest it becomes. Not to be rude or to be insensitive, but to be frank and open, to be honest. In Proverbs 27, verse 6, we read, faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend is someone who protects you even to this extent. He will speak hard words to you in order to help you do what is right. He will risk hurting your feelings for a short time. He will risk losing your favor for a time in order to do you good. Because this is how much he cares for you. Because he's your friend. A friend in Christ. A true friend is someone who will do difficult things for your good. A true friend is someone who is loyal, someone who protects you, and someone who will give you honest correction. Now, all these things are good descriptions of what a friend does and who a friend is. Yet, I think if we want to get to the very heart of the issue and answer this question, what is a friend? I think it comes down simply to this. A true friend is simply one who shares himself with you. Friends are those who bear their souls to each other. They enjoy each other, and because they enjoy each other, they spend time together, they share their time, they share each other with each other, or themselves with each other. In friendship, there are common views. You think the same way. You are in agreement. You have the same purposes and goals and standards in life. You can sympathize with each other, yet you have the same plans. You think the same way. Your thoughts are in agreement. That's why oftentimes we are friends, because we see that we're kindred spirits. A friend is someone you can spend long hours sharing ideas with and talking about plans for the future. A friend is someone unto whom you can entrust yourself, your thoughts, your worries, anxieties, your hopes, your struggles, your dreams, your desires, your secrets, all of who you are. Just think of Abraham. In the Bible, Abraham is given this very special description. He is called the friend of God. Why is Abraham given that special description? Exactly because God interacted with Abraham in just this way that I've been describing to you. God shared his thoughts with Abraham. God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want to tell you what I'm going to do. Because you are my friend. I have chosen you. You've not chosen me. I've chosen you to be my friend. Abraham, I want to tell you what I'm going to do. Abraham, I'm going to establish my covenant with you and your seed after you. Abraham, I'm going to make of your seed a great nation. Abraham, I'm going to bring your family into the promised land of Canaan. And Abraham, in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Even in the smaller things, God shared his thoughts with Abraham. When God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, this is exactly how God thought of Abraham. He was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and God says, shall I not tell Abraham what I'm going to do? And God said, no, I will not hide this thing from Abraham because Abraham is my friend. And so God told Abraham. That's friendship. It's the exchange of the thoughts of the hearts of two or more people. A friend is one who's close, perhaps physically, certainly emotionally. A friend is someone you trust. and with whom you share your thoughts and heart. To see that that is true, we should see that that's exactly the difference between a servant and a friend when you compare these two ideas. A servant is not close to his master in the kind of way that a friend is. A servant doesn't live with his master. A servant instead often has his own living quarters away from the main house, perhaps. A servant often even has his own eating quarters. He doesn't sit at the same table as his master. A servant doesn't live like one of the members of the family. He doesn't lounge on the couch with his feet on the table. No, a servant has his own place where he stays. And if he's wanted by the master rings the bell and the servant comes to him. A servant must be careful not to invade the boundaries of the master. He is one who stays in the background. He doesn't have the freedom to share himself freely with his master. He must maintain certain inhibitions out of proper decorum and propriety. The servant isn't there to share his thoughts. He's there to serve the master and to receive instruction. In addition, a servant is not made privy to the inward thoughts of the master. Maybe a master wants to build an addition onto his house. Or maybe the master is planning some kind of family vacation, but he doesn't share all his plans with the servant. He only shares his plans with the servant insofar as what the servant needs to know in order to do what the master wants him to do. That's a servant. His role is simply to receive the instruction and obey. Not to share in the thoughts of the master, but simply to obey. Now with the friend, it's entirely different. We know this. With a friend, the master welcomes the friend into his house and says, "Make yourself comfortable. You are my friend. Come into the living room so we can sit down and talk with each other." With a friend, the master says, "You don't sit at that table, at your own table, like Joseph in Egypt with his brothers, and I sit at the table by myself. No, you sit at this table. Of course you do. That's not even a question. We eat together." With a friend, the master says, "Let's talk openly. Let's talk as friends." With friends, there's that closeness and intimacy and familiarity and comfortableness that simply doesn't exist with a mere servant. With the friend, the master will share his plans for his addition, remodeling the house or building the business. A friend is one who's close to you. A friend is one who has your confidence, one in whom you can confide as a friend. Now, when we turn to John chapter 15, verse 15, we see that this is exactly what Jesus is talking about with his friendship. In John 15, verse 15, Jesus says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends." Verse 14, he just called them friends. "You are my friends. I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." He says, "I call you friends. You are my friends." And what Jesus is saying is this: you are the ones that I have chosen. Now, sometimes with friends, it's a strange thing. You don't really choose necessarily who your friends are. Your friends are just those who happen to be your friends. It just, God works it that way. It falls into place that these are my friends. These are the ones I share and get along with and am intimate with. And Jesus says to us, it's a little bit different. He says, "I have chosen you, specifically picked you out to share myself with you, to share my thoughts with you, to share my plans with you, to share my life with you. You are the ones I want to be close to. You are the ones I want to entrust myself unto. You are the ones in whom I confide my secret thoughts. You are the ones unto whom I want to be familiar. I choose you as my friends." And Jesus says, "Up till now, you have understood yourselves to be but mere servants. You've done my bidding. You've obeyed my instructions. And that's good and that's proper. But now Jesus says, I'm raising this relationship to a higher level. Yes, you will still be my servants, and I will still be your teacher, But you are also my friends. You are my friend servants. And Jesus says that exactly because this is how Jesus is dealing with his disciples here in John chapter 15. In this whole interaction, Jesus is not treating his disciples like servants. He's treating them like friends. He's sharing his thoughts with them. Look at the whole context. Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples the night before his crucifixion. And what's happening? It's as if Jesus has pressed the pause button and all he wants to do right now is fellowship with his friends. Judas has been dismissed. The Passover meal has taken place. The Lord's Supper has taken place. All these things have been taken care of. And now Jesus is simply sitting back with his disciples and talking to them, sharing his thoughts with them. And for four chapters, for four straight chapters, chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17, Jesus is simply speaking openly and frankly to his disciples as his friends. Congregation, I think it would have been absolutely astonishing, a rather astonishing experience to be one of those disciples in the upper room at that time. Here is Jesus. Here is God. Here is God in the flesh, just being a friend to his disciples. Here's John lying on his bosom. Here's Jesus reclining on the couch. The disciples are able to ask whatever questions they want to ask. Jesus is speaking reverently. Of course, he's holy, but he's speaking casually. He's speaking among friends. They're just chatting, you could put it this way. God in the flesh with his chosen friends. Jesus talks to them about their fears. He talks about their anxieties. He tells them why they don't need to fear. And then he starts sharing deep thoughts with them. Sharing his secrets with them. What secrets? Well, he talks to them about his suffering and death. He talks to them about his ascension into heaven. He talks to them about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Comforter. And he talks to them about his plans. And they just soak it up. They are loving it. They love it because they are experiencing friendship with Jesus. And they love it because they are his friends. And this is why also they are troubled, because they don't want their friend to leave. And I think we understand that too, maybe in the death of a loved one. I don't want to lose that friendship. And the disciples were troubled. And Jesus says, don't be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. That's how it begins. And he speaks to them as friends. And then in chapter 17 with his disciples, he prays a very intimate prayer to his heavenly Father. And he's praying very intimately right in front of his disciples. If there's anything more intimate than prayer, what is it? And here Jesus speaks openly. Because these are his disciples. He can pray to God openly in front of his disciples. In this whole section, he talks to his disciples with an intimacy and companionship that, in a sense, wasn't there before. Jesus says, up to this point, I've dealt with you as servants. But from here on out, I deal with you also as friends. Our relationship is maturing. It's changing. I've revealed all things to you that my Father has given me. In my capacity as mediator, everything that the Father has given to me to share with you, I've done that. I've shared the mind of God with you. And Jesus says, you are my friends. I love you. I care for you. I will be loyal to you. I will protect you. I will give you honest correction and admonish you. I will do you good. And above all, I will share myself with you, just as I'm doing right now. I will share with you the Holy Spirit so that you have my thoughts even worked within your heart and your mind. I will share myself with you in a very special way, even through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is emphasizing all these things to emphasize that he loves his disciples. That too is the entire context here in John chapter 15. Jesus is talking about love, his love for his disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I love you. And Jesus says, this is how much I love you. This is my proof and my pledge of my love towards you that, yes, you are my servants, but you're more than my servants. You're my friends. That's how I show my love to you. I treat you as friends. And then what is implied is also this. This is how I want you to treat each other. Continue ye in my love. Be friendly towards each other. As I ascend to heaven, this is how I want you to live. Live out of my friendship with each other. Be friends to each other, just as I am your friend. What we must recognize, congregation, is that Jesus' love for His disciples is the same love that He has for you and me today. The friendship that He had with His disciples here in the upper room is the friendship that He has with His people today. What Kimberly said at the time of her confession of faith before consistory is exactly right. Jesus is my friend. Little boys, little girls, this is the reality. Jesus is your master. He is your Lord. And you need to learn as little children to live as faithful servants. But this is also the reality. Jesus is your friend. He is your friend who loves you and you love Him. And you can share yourself with Him just as He shares Himself with you. Really, in a sense, we need to understand these words in the text as being spoken of the entire New Testament church. That too is part of the significance of this passage. These disciples here in the upper room are not just 12 disciples or 11 disciples. But these disciples are the church, representing the church of the New Testament. That's the significance of these words too. Even with the church, not just the disciples, but the church, there was a transition that was being made. At this point in time, the church was about to go from being a minor to being an adult. The church was going from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And with that change would come this change as well. She would go from being a child to being an adult, and from going from being merely a servant, in a sense, to this more mature, fuller, deeper relationship of being a friend. Jesus could speak more fully to His church because she was maturing. She could understand more deeply. So Jesus is speaking these words not just to the disciples, but the entire New Testament church. And yet, just because these words are being spoken to the entire New Testament church, they also need to be applied to our own hearts individually as individual members of the New Testament church. Jesus calls us His friends. He is loyal towards you, beloved. He is faithful. He never breaks His vows. He never breaks covenant with His people. He is our guide even until death. We sang it this morning. He protects us. He speaks honestly to us. He corrects us as His friend. Sometimes we don't like it. We chafe under it. But this is what a true friend does. And above all, He's chosen to share Himself with you. You are His elect. This is the glorious doctrine of election. He's chosen you. He loves you. He wants to be close to you. He cares for you. He shares His secrets with you. That's what Jesus has done in giving you the Bible. This is what the Bible is. Jesus' secrets to His people. So that we might know the mind of Christ and enter more deeply into fellowship with Him. This is what Jesus has done with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, giving us His mind so that we know His thoughts. As the Bible says, as Paul writes, we have the mind of Christ. We think the same way. We're in harmony. Our hearts beat together. We're bosom friends. This is why Jesus came to the earth and died on the cross. Exactly. So that we might be His friends. Yes, also His servants, but also His friends. This is why Jesus has worked in the heart of Kimberly and in the life of Kimberly the way that He has. And Kimberly knows this. Because He wants her as His friend. This is also why Kimberly was willing to take the vows on that she took on. Because she understands that she has been made. She is the friend of Jesus Christ. And this is what friends do, and this is what is required of friends. Friends, servants. to honor their friend's sovereign, their friend who is also their Lord. This is also why Jesus has given us the Lord's Supper. And although we are not celebrating the Lord's Supper this morning, we can say one or two things here too. He gives us the Lord's Supper. This is also why He gives us the preaching, so that this friendship might grow and be strengthened. In a very striking way, Jesus shares Himself with us in the preaching and at the Lord's Supper as His friends. Through the Lord's Supper, through the exercise of faith, we are more and more united to Christ and made partakers of His life and His Spirit. Through the Lord's Supper, Jesus has us sit at the same table as Him. He doesn't have His own table up here and then a table over there where we all can gather around. No, one table that we all fellowship at. If we would have that practice. But we do it spiritually. One table. Jesus says, "This is how much I love you. I laid down my life for you." That's what He says. "This bread is broken. This wine is poured out. Because I've chosen you as my friends." And this is what the love of friendship does. "And this is what I want to do right now," He says. "I want to spend time with you." This is what the Sabbath day is all about. This is what reading the Ten Commandments is all about. This is what your whole Christian life is all about. You are the friends of Christ. You honor Him, you love Him, you enjoy Him. This is what our devotional life is about. I call up my friend because I want to talk to him. Jesus says, "Pray. Get on your knees in prayer because I want you to talk to me." And open your Bibles and read because I want to talk to you. He gives us the Lord's Supper. He gives us the preaching. He gives us the sacrament of baptism to strengthen us so that we might be more faithful friends to Him and dwell more intimately in friendship, also with each other, in the friendship of the saints. This is Jesus. This is Jesus, who is God Himself come in the flesh. This is your reality. And I can add this too. The world doesn't understand it. You may say, "This word sounds like a strange word. If I wasn't a believer, to the world around us, this is nonsense." But part of that is exactly because Jesus hasn't spoken His secrets to the world. They are strangers to Jesus. That's the reality, the wonder of faith. Jesus gives us that faith so that our eyes are opened, our ears are opened, and He is no longer a stranger. There is no longer that darkness that veils the truth from us. But we see Him, and He says, "I've chosen you. You are my friends." Live this way. Kimberly, live this way. Continue to live this way. This is to be commended. Little children, this is our prayer for you as little children. Learn to obey. Learn to enjoy that personal relationship of friendship with your Lord. This is who we are as a denomination. As we emphasize and preach the doctrine of the covenant and an unconditional covenant, irresistible grace, uncommon grace. This is what it's all about. Jesus is not a friend to everyone, because then friendship means nothing. Jesus does not desire to be the friend of every person head for head, because then He's pretty pathetic and weak. Jesus has chosen us to be His friends. By the wonder of His love, He laid down His life for His friends. Jesus sends His Spirit, the Spirit of friendship, into our hearts, so that He who first loved us also works within us that friendship so that we love Him. This is your reality, beloved. Jesus calls you friends. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the Sabbath day. We thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for this Word. Write its eternal truths upon our hearts, that we might know Thy friendship and live out of it and live in joy and happiness. May we be strengthened through this Word in our trials, maybe in our bouts of loneliness and struggle. in the unknowns, Father, with the sicknesses in our lives and the concerns and health concerns. Lord, let this truth be written in our hearts. Thou hast chosen us to be Thy friends. May we understand it. May we enter into this friendship more deeply. And then as Thy friend's servants, may we live as Thy friends indeed, laying down our lives for Thee, being loyal to Thee, sharing ourselves with Thee, protecting Thy honor and reputation in the midst of this world. And Father, we don't need to give Thee any honest correction, because Thou dost do all things well. May we give ourselves that honest correction and towards each other as the friends of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.